Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson, and if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Blake Smith from the Decor Group, which includes Christmas decor and nighttime decor. At the Decor Group, franchising is their business. Nighttime Decor is a member of the Decor Group, a conglomerate of lighting and decorating service and product supply companies that include the Christmas Decor franchise system. Christmas Decor is the leading brand in Christmas decorating services and has gained national acclaim in the media and franchise industry for the success of the business. And that's coming up in segment two of Franchise Interviews, so stick around because we got a great show.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. How you doing today, Don? Welcome back. Don? There you go. You back?
Yes.
I thought you fell asleep. I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
No, I really like the commercials.
Yeah, okay. How you doing today?
Good. Doing all right this week. How are
That's
you?
Good. You must be a little tired, I suspect. This is like, what, you're like 15th day in a row working?
Yeah, something like that, because at a franchise show this weekend,
which
we saw each other at the International Franchise Expo, and that went on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so it's hard work, throughout the weekend.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I thought it was a lot of fun, though. I was a little disappointed. The turnout was kind of light, I thought,
right,
compared to some previous years. I think I were talking about that, and I've mentioned that with some other people that I met at the show. But I guess that, kind of sort of makes sense, if you think about it, with the economy.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because so many people are out of work. The economy's rough. But, there's no doubt the attendance was down. There was a few less franchisors. And I speak to a lot of the franchises at the company because I just know a lot and work with them through and helping them with financing.
Right.
I had some franchisors say that, the people who were there was some quality investors.
Mm-hmm.
They had meetings set up. And,
right.
Still a great show. Still a
oh, absolutely.
Huge major show with, many franchising companies, suppliers, vendors, all pretty good. But, overall, not as solid as previous years.
Yeah, my dad was overwhelmed when he first, when we first got there. This was his first time going to a show. And the part where you're kind of like, you're upstairs and you're looking down through this glass window, and
right.
You just see like this, was it like 9 rows of franchisors? It really is quite overwhelming. He was blown away by it.
Right.
It really was amazing. Were there any franchises that stood out for you, or any new concepts this year that you kind of said wow, or?
That's always the case every year. Looking down at the whole list afterwards, there were over 35 first-time exhibitors.
Wow, 35.
First-time exhibiting at the show. And, a share of them are, newer franchisors who are trying to just, get their name known nationally.
Right.
And there are some pretty big names there. Ace Hardware,
yeah.
Mrs. Fields, Edible Arrangements, Papa John's, Choice Hotel, Sport Clips, Cartridge World, who I've been working with for years, Wingstop. The UPS store, I've done loans for them for many years, Applebee's. So, there's always a good assortment of well-known names and,
right.
Some of your newer concepts. Some of the gaming franchises are, pretty interesting and, really getting a lot of attention.
Yeah, I saw some of those. That was kind of interesting, which I haven't noticed a lot of those in the past, So we just recently had that type of franchise on the show. We had Games to You a couple weeks ago. It was a very interesting
right.
concept. So,
and even Big Mouth Advertising, who we're going to have
great.
On the show shortly. They had their truck right in the show. They have a very interesting franchise, and so we were happy to speak to them.
They had a nice turnout at their booth too, I tell you, because we had an advertisement on their billboard, which was, I was really impressed when I walked in. I said, oh my God, I said, that's incredible. But they had a nice turnout at their booth too, I couldn't
right.
get over there. I wanted to get permission to take a picture of our billboard, and I couldn't even get in, so I had to wait
right.
to speak to these guys. So I was happy to see that they were doing so well. It's a very neat concept, so it is. It's going to be interesting to have them on our show, and I think that's going to happen towards, it's the end of April.
Right.
Coming on. I think we're going to have 2 of them on the show.
Yeah, it's going to be a good show, and they had a good location. They just get a lot of attention because that, the big truck is right in there.
Well, smart, that's the way to do it, talk about making an impression. When you talk about Big Mouth Advertising, not only just show a brochure, but to actually bring the billboard in and show what it is,
right.
Is really quite amazing. So, yeah, we got some pictures of that, too. So we'll post those up on the website of our ad, for our Franchise Interviews radio show. And, very impressed. Here's here's something from Dina Dwyer. We do current events on segment one typically, and I think we've mentioned Dina Dwyer probably how many times since we've been doing the show, like
right.
10 to 15 times.
Yeah.
She writes a lot of articles on the topic of franchising. And this is what she says in the show directory. I was like reading these things. It says, as someone who spent nearly all of her life, and by the way, Dina Dwyer is the chairman of the International Franchise Association. And again, she says, as someone who's spent nearly all of her life involved in franchising, I extend to you a heartfelt welcome and one of the most exciting sectors of business that's ever been created. And I think you and I both feel the same way. I mean, one of the best things that ever happened to business was the whole franchise concept, the ability to create a system and follow that system so you get the same result every single time. I think that's the attraction for you and I. Let's see. It says, franchising works. It's made the dream of small business ownership come true for thousands of people. It's become one of the best ways to be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. A recent IFA Educational Foundation research project conducted by PricewaterhouseCoopers found that in the United States alone, franchising generates more than 21 million Americans and contributes a total of economic output of more than $2.3 trillion to the nation's economy. I think you and I have referenced that number before.
Right.
It says, today, franchising is the business model of choice. She says it's 75 industries. I've seen anywhere from 75 to 80. She'd probably know better than I. ranging from automobile services and healthcare to restaurants and also weight control. Owning and operating a franchise can be an immensely rewarding experience, but it isn't for everyone. You know, that's interesting that you mentioned that right, you know, on the front page. Like any business venture, it requires long hours, hard work, and carefully following the directives as outlined by the franchise system. She goes on, but I think that's a great place to end it. You know, I mean, some very powerful words from Dina Dwyer, you know. So,
right.
Yeah, that was, it was really a great show. And I think next year, you know, you and I have been talking about this. Somehow we want to do the show live, you know, from Washington, D.C. I think that would be fantastic.
Right, yeah, it's definitely a plan of ours, a goal.
Absolutely. So what do we got going on today, Don?
Today, we're meeting with Blake Smith from the Decor Group, which has Christmas decor, nighttime decor. And so we're excited to talk to them a little bit. Supposedly they're getting some national attention, and I think I think everybody likes talking about the subject of Christmas in general. So.
Sure, absolutely, any time of year. You know, I mean, it's just, and their website is quite overwhelming, isn't it? I mean, they did a fantastic job with their website.
Yeah, it looks real nice. They have some flashing Christmas lights on.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Kind of gets you in the mood for Christmas, you know. So we were just there. But and we have some other great shows coming up, as we were mentioning. You know, we have, I think, Weed Man is coming up next week, and I think Wing Zone is another one, and we have Rita's coming back in the end of April. We have Big Mouth Advertising coming in, I think it's the third week of April. We have TSS Photography, so we have a lot of great shows coming up over the next month. It's really exciting.
It's going to be interesting. I don't think we've had a have we had a photography franchise?
Not yet, to my knowledge. You know, again, you have to kind of think back because we've done so many shows up to this point. I think this is 111, by the way. So,
well, eventually we're going to have all 80 industries covered ourselves, whether it's 70.
Oh, absolutely, 80. Yeah. And we're probably almost there, actually, if you think about it, you know. So, yeah, it's interesting. I know you had some interesting articles.
Yeah, here's something, Marty, from Harvard Business. Anthony John wrote this article. It says, great entrepreneur secret, smarts, guts, and luck. And, you know, with business ownership and franchise ownership, you know, I mean, obviously you have to have that entrepreneurial side of you.
Mm-hmm.
And this starts off as venture capitalists, my partners and I meet dozens upon dozens of entrepreneurs pitching their ideas and dreams. We love them, especially when their passion comes with capabilities and a good idea. I've been fascinated in understanding the DNA of great entrepreneurs in an effort to identify traits and markers that can serve as early clues for future success. And he's come to conclude that great entrepreneurs share the need, he calls it SGL, which stands for smarts, guts, and luck.
Wow.
And it's a pretty interesting article. I mean, I really kind of agree with it. You know, we're business owners. I've now my 19th year of business ownership and can relate to this a little bit. You know, not that I have any smarts.
It's interesting, though, using luck, though. You know, I haven't really, I don't know, have you heard that before? I mean, I guess
yeah.
It's true. I mean, you know, you've been, I guess there's been times where you've just been lucky. You know, you've been in the right place.
Yeah,
right time,
I definitely
know, and
think that you sometimes create your own luck, but you have to
sure.
have some of it because there's a lot of different industries. A small percentage of your business is out of your control, maybe with
that is true.
State, you know, regulation or,
right,
or
right.
outside influence or. If you're in an industry that gets bad press and something happens, I mean, there's always some of that stuff going on.
Very true.
It says about smarts. If you eat horseshoes for breakfast and always win in Vegas, then all the better for you. You ain't the norm. Smarts is the best foundation for any entrepreneur. Entrepreneurial smarts, however, need to be defined, and it certainly requires going beyond traditional MBA education. If I were honest and not influenced by the fact that I hold one of these degrees myself from an institution closely affiliated to this site, then I would say that there's a lot of truth in what my partner, Mats Lenderhausen, has said. Most MBAs make for sucky entrepreneurs.
Now,
Marty, you have an MBA, right?
Yes, I knew you were going to say that. Who wrote this article?
Anthony John, last name
okay.
T-J-A-N. That's through Harvard Business.
It sounds like something Dr. Scott Shane would write too. You know, it's
right.
You know, because he—I remember he once mentioned the whole DNA of the entrepreneur and things like that. So
right,
that's interesting.
He goes, because of sucky entrepreneurs, this is not because they are not smart, but because an MBA, while potentially helpful, is not a requirement. Other smarts are. The best self-made entrepreneur possesses outstanding street smarts, intuition, emotional and conceptual intelligence, as much as. And often more so than book smarts, analytics, and managerial intelligence.
See, I would agree with that, Don. I mean, I think it's very true. You know, I went on beyond my MBA. I actually went to a post-MBA level.
Right.
And when I was doing that, this was at Fairleigh Dickinson where you went to,
right,
studying entrepreneurial studies. And we spent a lot of time studying entrepreneurs. And I would totally agree with that. You know, some of the most successful entrepreneurs, you know, just think of the ones that we've had on the show. I mean, God, we
right,
give you a list, you know, of your Michael Gerbers, you know, Jim Rudolph, you know, from Rita's. Remember that story?
Right.
You know,
oh, yeah, we've had some of the most successful.
I always remember, Jim telling the story of, you know, and he was embarrassed at the time. And he, again, I always say he reminds me a lot of Dave Thomas, and he was friends with Dave Thomas. But, you know, he was embarrassed that he barely graduated high school at the time, and he wasn't anymore. I mean, look at the success that Jim Rudolph has had, you know. I mean, all those Wendy's,
right,
that he sold, I think it was like 46 of them, and now he's the CEO of Rita's. I mean, And one of the best interviews that we've ever had on the show. I think you and I were taking notes on that particular show.
Right.
So
it was definitely a course. That was better than any college class I ever had.
He could be, you know, he could be a professor at Harvard if he wanted to. You know, I mean, it was really that incredible. So.
Right. You know, George Native. I mean, we've had a lot of people on.
Oh, he was incredible too, wasn't he? I mean,
yeah.
Just. So I would agree with this article. I think there's a lot of truth behind it.
So the next one, he talks about guts a little bit. Great entrepreneurs,
mm-hmm,
have the guts to go after big ideas. They are willing to put themselves out there when most worry about what will others think. The definition of entrepreneurship that Harvard Business School professor Bill Solomon made prolific, he says, the relentless pursuit of opportunity without regard to resources forms the center of the entrepreneurial mindset. Entrepreneurs don't worry about the resources they lack, but about the resourcefulness required to get the big idea done.
I would agree with that, too. You know, I mean, I think there's a lot of validity behind that. You know, I remember there's a great story, and it's too long to tell, but Honda was one of those guys, you know, where he had very limited resources, yet he was able to create this massive conglomerate, you know,
right,
Honda, as we know it. So it's really a wonderful story, and yeah, I would agree with that, too.
My dad's been successful in business. He was a pilot and has owned various businesses, still a business owner at age 80, and he's always told me you have to take little risks here and there. You have to,
right,
have some guts and do some things. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, your dad's one of those guys, too. We should have him on the show.
We'd be laughing too much and getting off subject.
You've got
by the time the interview ended, we'd be talking about nothing about franchise. It goes on here. It's gutsy for people to pursue a mission despite the gulf that exists between their available resources and the largesse of their ideas. It is gutsy to swing for the fences when one could settle for a single or double. It's gutsy to shape change that most cannot yet see and persevere forward with singular clarity.
Mm.
It says, here's an amazing fact. About two-thirds of billionaires on the Forbes billionaire list started with nothing.
Wow.
You know, desperation could be a good motivator, but these folks were born with the fire in the belly and vision in the mind. And he recommends reading the biographies of Andy Grove, Ralph Lauren, J.K. Rowling, I guess the writer. And then the last thing, Marty Luck, even with all the smarts and guts, you don't get the glory without some luck. People can create the circumstances for luck,
mm-hmm,
which I believe in,
right,
as well as just, you know, needing luck, period. But that should not discount the value of Lady Luck's gracious blessings. Recognizing that luck is part of the success formula helps maintain the necessary and important humility during the entrepreneurial journey and beyond. Circumstances beyond one's control will always occur, like what I mentioned before.
Right, right.
Accepting this vulnerability and understanding that sometimes you just need the cards dealt in your favor is necessary to maintain the conviction, courage, and momentum of entrepreneurial enterprises. Interesting. Smarts, guts, and
great
luck.
Article, yeah. That's
You
know, and it's kind of inspirational. These are the things I love talking about, you know, when talking about entrepreneurship, you know.
Right.
You know, and people have a lot of different definitions of an entrepreneur. We've seen that on the show as well. Some definitions have been very simplistic, but this one's very interesting, though.
And here's an entrepreneurial story from Entrepreneur Magazine. I didn't set this all up. It just all came about.
Sounds like a nice segue. You're getting good at this.
Yeah. This is by Kevin Manahan, A Better Model of Fitness. It starts off, Marty, trying to improve the way people exercise was no walk on the treadmill for Rick Sikorsky. The Canada native initially moved to the U.S. to pursue his master's in counseling psychology. So this guy was starting off with the smart segment of entrepreneurship.
Right, right.
But when the fitness enthusiast began noticing the flaws in public gyms, the impersonality, the crowds, the high turnover, he dropped out of his program. The business opportunity I saw was this displaced group of people who were frustrated with the public gym model and weren't getting results, he says. In 1983, he opened a small training studio in Phoenix called Fitness for Life. He wanted to create a non-threatening gym where customers could be comfortable and have trainers focus on them at all times. People were keen on the new approach, and the business grew to 4 locations. 12 years after launch, work still hadn't slowed down for Sikorsky. With few other businesses like his, he relied on trial and error and worked long hours, making it difficult to balance business and family. After considering several options, he decided to start franchising in 96 and rename the company Fitness Together. At first, people were reluctant to buy into a franchise with no proven track record, but today Fitness Together has sold more than 600 locations in 5 countries with 2008 sales exceeding over $100 million. Each facility offers simple and efficient approach, allowing clients to work out with a personal trainer in private suites without distractions. They're based out of Denver, which is one of the, home base headquarters of franchising nationally with so many franchises there. They operate under the Fitness Together Holdings, which also added Elements Therapeutic Massage as its second franchise model in 06. Elements had sales over $10 million, more than 100 locations. I know this company a little bit. I know they're really on the way up. But this is an interesting entrepreneurial classic type story where someone just thought that a business can be done better.
Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, you hate to call franchising a method of distribution, but this gentleman who, you know, started the company, I mean, to start 600 of these on his own would just have been impossible. You know what I mean?
Right.
So the franchising model or relationship really makes sense, you know, is the only way for him to do this kind of growth.
And he started in 83, so look, it took him over 10 years to go through the ups and downs and errors and mistakes before he fine-tuned a program, franchised it, and, you know, look what's happening now.
I didn't realize those guys were that big, you know. I mean, they have a lot of franchisees, you know.
Right.
It was there was an interesting one at the show, if you remember. They were from Cult Snack, weren't they?
Right, Retro Fitness.
Who
I started seeing here in Central Jersey, and I always look at the list of who were some of the attending franchisors before the show happens.
Right.
See which my clients, see who I'm going to meet, and everything. And I happened to see them. I weren't even sure if they were a franchise, but I know they're starting to get to be pretty popular, and sure enough, they were. And their headquarters is actually in Cult Snack, New Jersey.
Right in your backyard.
And, yeah, so
yeah, that's amazing.
Went and spoke to them, and I'm sure something will happen there. But, yeah, they were – yeah, they had a lot of their gym equipment all featured. They had a pretty large area of the show.
It stood out, yeah. My dad was saying the whole color of it, you know, just the yellow, how it just really stood out. You know, it just captured your attention, you know. So I thought those guys did an excellent job, too, at setting up that display. Some of the displays are really overwhelming, you know. It takes a lot of time to set that stuff up.
Right. Hey, it gets to be pretty expensive. It's a pretty big investment.
Oh, yeah,
to go to the shows. And there were a few companies handing out food, not like years ago.
No, there wasn't, was there? You mentioned that, you know. I mean, it was, I didn't walk out of there. This was the first time I didn't walk out of there with a stomachache.
Right.
And again, I'm trying to contain myself, you know, and my dad.
That's also a sign of the time. Very equipment to expensive to bring in all the equipment to do that.
It's true. Yeah, no, it's true. I know my dad had a feast when he was there. I mean, he was eating pizza and was it yogurt and ice cream and coffee and everything, you know. So I mean, he had a full meal, you know. So it was and he slept the entire way back to New Jersey, you know. So, yeah, it was interesting. So those are fantastic articles, Don. So why don't we take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Franchise Interviews, For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the French entrepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today. We're welcoming Blake Smith from the Decor Group, which includes Christmas decor and nighttime decor. And at the Decor Group, franchising is their business. Nighttime Decor is a member of the Decor Group, a conglomerate of the lighting, decorating service, and product supply companies that include the Christmas Decor franchise system. And I think you and I were blown away when we were on their website yesterday, so it's just good stuff. Right. Hey, Blake, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good, Blake. Blake, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson, and I know, Don, you wanted to say good morning to Blake.
Hey, Blake, how's things going? Thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate it. We're excited to talk about the franchise.
Well, I tell you, Don and Marty, it couldn't be a better time. I just got back from vacation, literally flew in last night, so I'm feeling rested and energized and ready to take on the world.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. Blake, we always like to ask our guests where they're calling from this morning.
Yeah, well, I'm actually in Lubbock, Texas. If you know where Lubbock, Texas is, it's in the panhandle of Texas. Some people know us by Texas Tech, Red Raiders football team, and just a little small town out here in West Texas.
That's fantastic. Is it getting warm out there now? I suppose it's getting ready for the hot weather.
Yeah, it is. In fact, all the trees are fully foliated, which is kind of a sad thing because it's supposed to have a hard freeze tomorrow.
Oh, jeez. Not good, not good. Look, I know you have an interesting background. What were you doing before starting the Decor Group?
Well, before I got into this, I was actually had a landscaping company, which I started when I was about 16. And, of course, when I first began, it was mainly maintenance, mowing lawns and, you know, trimming hedges and those types of things. And it just continued to grow, adding services, landscape services, concrete services, chemical application services, to become a full service and one of the largest landscape companies here in Lubbock. And what simply happened is I had this need that I had to find a way to keep my employees year-round. In a market like ours, it does slow down considerably in the winter months. And so I would have to lay off the large majority of my staff each year, and that's really where the idea of holiday lighting came to play. Almost 22 years ago, We began to put up decorations many a times for the same customers we provided the lawn care service to, and that became the bridge that allowed me to keep employees and at the same time generate a revenue in the off-season. So that's kind of that background, that 10 to 12-year background in landscape contracting is really where the idea of putting up holiday lighting and decorations was born.
Yeah,
out of dire need and an opportunity at the same time.
Yeah, I bet there's a lot of people out there that said, why didn't I think of that? You know, it's just fantastic.
And was that successful right off the bat when you started that 22 years ago with the holiday services, Blake?
Well, the response was really interesting. When you're starting something new like that, I put out flyers, brochures, and people would call just flabbergasted. You know, can I really hire someone to do this service that I really don't look forward to doing, or I can't get my husband out there to do this, you know, each year? It almost caused divorces. I like to say we saved marriages, it was really a lot of fun, and it was a lot of fun, but I think it took about 3 years to really get a science to the business. In fact, I think that science never ends. We had about 10 years in doing the lighting here in Lubbock in our own business before we ever got the idea to franchise it. So we had a pretty good background and a pretty good base before we began that process.
And that's what I was going to ask when you did franchise it. Was that an idea on your own, or did other people give you the idea to do that?
Well, I had a partner at the time as well, and he knew a guy that helped set up franchise concepts, and we got to talking about it. And really, our first idea was, you know, it took a long time to get here to know how to do this, and we can't be the only seasonal service company out there that has this same off-season problem. So it kind of – the initial thoughts, as many businesses do, we thought, hey, here's an opportunity to solve problems for people. Of course, we recognized that it was also a very big opportunity at the same time. And when you can bring a problem-solving concept with an opportunity at the same time, it's pretty powerful. We thought at first, we'll just write a manual. We'll tell people how to do it, where to get product, how to price the services. But we realized that there's a lot more to it than just that know-how. There's also just being able to acquire and set up vendor relationships, and it goes on and on and on. And that's kind of what a good franchise does, is it brings all the pieces together, the know-how and the systems and the ideas, but also the vendor relationships and those types of things. And it's a pretty comprehensive process. And so when we first started it, we really had more knowledge than we had anything else. And as time grew, as things went along, then we just began to expand third-party benefits and relationships to become a full-fledged business support system.
And you were confident, Blake, that, you know, this type of service being seasonal could, you know, support a business for the year.
Well, and really most of our guys, just to be clear, most, and I'm going to say 98% of our franchisees really are add-on businesses. That's the market we tend to go after. Knowing the landscape contracting industry, that was the initial market we went towards first. Right. Attending trade shows, getting in trade journals. You know, we've got stories all over the office, posted all over the office, where we've been covered in these industry magazines. So most of our franchises are in another business, and they're adding this business. What really has enabled this to be a more of a potential standalone is bringing in the second brand, and that is, that you mentioned earlier, nighttime decor, which is landscape and architectural lighting. When you bring in landscape lighting, which is really the other part of the season with holiday lighting, then you have a pretty good year-round business. And what's tend to happen, though, in our case, is our core competencies is working with standalone businesses out there or that are already existing. And so most of these are still add-ons, the nighttime as well as the Christmas. So what happens is a landscape company or a pest control company will start another division in their company, a lighting division, and they'll bring these two brands in, and generally it will sustain itself. But it still leverages all the other assets of the company. It leverages the trucks and the trailers and the admin, the admin portions of their business, so it's a complete bolt-on leveraging all other resources within the business, and that's where it's most successful.
That's interesting, Blake, how a lot of existing business people with all that business experience looking to diversify and add on and buying your franchise, I see that can be good. But at the same time, did you find at times that there must have been a few franchises where it might be difficult them following your system when they might have their own business skills that they're used to? Was that ever come about?
That's a very good point. Yeah, one of the things you have to be careful is just how entrepreneurial, the true definition of entrepreneur is innovation, and you have to be real careful about those types of companies that are unwilling to follow a system. I think that we find companies that belong to associations, for example. We were real fortunate to bring a lot of officers of some of the key organizations in some of these service industries in early on, and they were people that respected the idea of they don't know everything, and that they attend these seminars and these industry association meetings to be able to learn from others. And companies like that recognize that if you can bring value to the table and you can shorten the learning curve and you can bring benefits they could not get on their own, that they see that's a necessary investment. And so for those minded people, it's been very effective. It's those that are just trying to always buck the system and be different just to be different sometimes, it becomes a struggle. But for the most part, they see that they're able to focus on their other businesses very well, and we are able to pretty much keep our heads in this game all the time. And that really gives them freedom to make sure that the core business that they've already began stays maintained. And so it actually works out pretty well, but we do have to be a little bit careful.
Right, right. So, people listening to this show, Blake, how do you describe the core group franchise system to someone who's thinking of investing in just a few sentences?
Yeah, well, there's two concepts, franchise concepts. Christmas decor, which is basically holiday and event lighting and decorating services. And I think the key thing to distinguish that is it's not really a retail store. It's a service-based concept. We go out to a home or a business, provide a customer with several options for decorating their property, and then they choose from those options, and then we provide the turnkey installation, removal, storage, the whole process. Right. That's pretty much the Christmas service and the Christmas franchise. The nighttime decor is architectural and landscape lighting. So in this case, we go out into a property, again, mostly homes, and we do an artistic design of the lighting to incorporate both their architectural features of their home as well as their landscaping to extend the enjoyment of their home, the aesthetics of their home, the safety and security of their home. And then the customer, again, once again, will select, I'm going to do the backyard now, maybe add the front yard later, those types of things. And so that's the decor group. It's the two businesses, Christmas decor, nighttime decor, and then we have a third a leg that is ACLS, which is American Christmas Light and Supply, a supply company that provides all the materials and support and so forth for those two franchise systems. And we call all three companies collectively the decor group. So that's really what the decor group is, two franchise concepts and a supply company.
You know, was that more than two sentences, Marty?
I think it was. I've been known to speak a little long-winded at times.
That was
perfect answer, though.
It's a great concept,
great.
Though. Yeah, it really is, Blake. Blake, one of the questions we've been asking on the show recently is, what role has technology played in your business? Has it played a big role?
An absolutely huge role. I'm glad to hear that question because I think that's a good question. You know, from the very beginning, and I laugh when I think about, you know, 14 years ago is when we started, and we were concerned whether people would have a fax machine. And today, you know, we won't even accept a telephone order. You have to do everything electronic so that we make sure that we're as efficient as we can be. You know, I'll just cover just a few things where technology has impacted our business because it's huge. One thing is just from the very beginning when you talk to a franchise prospect, the development of a territory. We've been studying our customers through technology for several years now. Probably over 100,000 records have been studied in the last 3 years alone to figure out who our exact target customer is. And one of the things it does two things. One is in developing a territory for a potential franchisee, we understand now what the average order based on certain demographic levels and what the penetration rates are expected to be in a given market. And literally, in real time, in a go-to-meeting where the prospect can see what I'm doing or one of our salespeople are doing, we can draw territories and go ahead and develop sales potential right in real time with them looking at the map. From that, once we develop the territory based on their goals and our goals, then we can actually develop a marketing program to achieve that exact number, or at least precisely that number. And that's a very efficient manner, efficient process for us to be able to get pretty close to developing a business plan for these guys right from the beginning. And that's how the whole thing starts. And then from that point on, we have, of course, the 24/7 online ordering systems where these guys can work late in the evening if they have to and then get on that evening and order, make an order if they need to for the next day. Extranet systems where there's communication and chat rooms, libraries full of documents, business tools, even training video libraries. All of our training is all on the intranet as well. So there's a lot that we use technology for. And last and certainly not least, we have spent, I believe it's now 8,000 hours in the development of our own proprietary software to run these businesses, which does everything from telling them how much electricity a job is going to take, what it's going to cost to run it per season, you know, down to, you know, pulling the order, what materials you're going to need and combinations of things you're going to need, how long it's going to take to do the job. So there's a lot of science. As you get into systems and franchising, it's all about a science. And technology has been an enormous part of our business, and we see it just never ends. It's just more and more and more. So don't know how we'd do it without it today.
Yeah, it is amazing
when
you look at
that.
That
makes it all
back.
Well worth the franchise fee and royalty fee, of course. I mean, all these.
I think it's a big piece of the value. It's in order to get quick in-time information. I think technology is required, and business moves fast, and you have to stay up with it. And I think for a company our size, we're probably kind of on the leading edge of technology for some of the things that we're doing now. We do a lot of webinars and webcasts, and we record a lot of meetings so they can be listened to for those that can't attend. So it's neat to be able to reach out, and now with Skype and other things, to be able to reach out with video. So we're going to be pushing a lot of that this year.
That's amazing. It is incredible, Blake. When you look back, as you say, 15 years ago, you say, how did I ever do this, without all this technology available today? And I like how you mentioned that it does. It becomes a science, It's really incredible.
Well, you laugh at the whole idea of being concerned about a fax machine, that's for sure.
Is there any numbers on your industries, Blake?
Yeah, there is. I mean, there's not a real official number probably on the holiday lighting, but we've been able to get a pretty good idea. We probably make up a good fifth or even a fourth of the marketplace. We really created that industry. We're about a $50 million a year company as far as the end-user Christmas decorating service program. We've got about 375 franchisees out there, so that gives you kind of an idea. We're figuring that industry is probably closer to $300 million at this point, and I'm talking about specifically hiring a decorating service to come out and handle your business or your home's decorating needs. As far as nighttime decor, as far as a service providing outdoor lighting, is well over $1 billion. And one of the exciting things about both industries is they're poised to grow. One of the big industries that we serve, that we sell franchises to, is lawn care and landscaping. And that industry is actually expected to regress about 5 to 7% over the next couple of years, certainly due to the economic climate that we're in. However, they projected landscape lighting to grow at 10 to 12% in the next couple of years. So it's kind of like, I guess irrigation was fairly new not long ago, 20 years ago. Landscape lighting is kind of that new industry in the green industry that is really growing. And so it's really a great opportunity to be involved in these types of businesses. And they're generally not that affected by economics, which has been really a surprise. It certainly was the case in Lubbock when we had a bad cotton crop or something like that. We still had pretty good growth from our Christmas lighting, even when our landscapes tended to be flat. So there's an emotional pull, I guess, to both of these that maybe is non-existent in some of the other industries we serve.
Yeah, I mean, people are definitely going to be happy with getting anything Christmas-related. And also just seeing lights at night. I mean, it's a feel-good type of purchase.
Yeah, true.
It really is, and I think that's probably one of the most enjoyable things that we do is we make a big difference, of course, in people's lives with our franchise concept, but the end users are just thrilled with the service. It's real hard not to over-deliver.
Right.
Which we aim to do, of course. That's our concept, is over-delivery. But it's a lot of fun when you hear stories, and I get a lot of them from the field all the time, stories that people tell us. One thing I'd like to mention, if I could, is one of the things we did this last, I guess it's been 4 years now, we have a program called the Decorated Family Program. And what it is we go out into newspapers and different media, and we ask for people to submit someone that maybe has a wife or a husband overseas, and they join in kind of through a request, through an application for us to decorate their home for free while their loved ones are overseas, and it's called the Decorated Family Program. And I think we've decorated somewhere near 200 homes now nationwide and the stories that we get pouring in from that are just unbelievable. The letters we receive and things like that are just it just makes you really proud to be in America. And these people that are suffering those, their loved ones overseas during that important time of the year, Christmas, it's just such a neat thing to be able to be part of that. So we've enjoyed those types of programs over the years as well. We're not all about just business. We like to do what we can to give back to the community, and that's been a very enjoyable program.
Helping people and great PR. That's a great story. What are types of characteristics, Blake, you look for in a franchisee?
Well, I think the number one is always the willingness, the desire to win and the desire to succeed. And for us, it's a willingness to invest the resources that you have to be successful. And, in fact, we changed our agreements to really be structured that way. There's certain things from a marketing commitment and a personnel commitment that have to be met. If someone's willing to commit the energy and follow the system, it's almost always going to result in success. Usually it's when someone is not willing to follow the model or put the inputs in. And so we do a lot of things to try to figure out, you know, what are you willing to commit to this business? And I'll go back to the tool I talked about earlier with the demographic development tool. Once we understand the market's potential now and a lot of history, we really know what it takes. And so we can lay that out for that prospect. And if that prospect buys into that and really commits to that, then we've probably got a winner. The advantage we have is they already have a business. So there's a little bit of a history there to look at on their own behalf.
Right.
Unlike a lot of other models out there, we're able to see how their own business has grown and what they've done to make it successful. And so we kind of have an opportunity there to really take a look at their own background a little bit further. So that's really been the key to the success. And when we see that combination come together, usually we have a winner.
You know they're already hard workers on the success of their own business. So
that's right.
Who've been your franchisees, Blake, too? Have you had, like, from interesting backgrounds or, like, husband, wife? Have they had background or...
I think that's another great question. You know, lawn care and landscaping has been our primary industry, but it's gone into many different industries, from pest control to roofing contractors to just general contractors. We also have people in pool and construction businesses. That's become one of the big growing industries right now because the economy has slowed that industry down, and so they're looking for other revenue streams. Diversification has been a key piece. We've had women and men run this business, probably more men because there's a little more men in those industries, but we've also had several women that have been the entrepreneurs on these businesses as well. So we now are seeing quite a few firemen get in the game, so in both the landscape lighting and the Christmas lighting. So it's really going to fit anybody who, number one, enjoys outdoor work because it's all outdoor, and number two, anyone that has a service-based concept where there are a lot of assets to leverage, customers themselves being one of those assets, but equipment and anything that can be leveraged to create revenue from the existing business they already have. So that's kind of been the makeup of our franchisee.
That's great. And what's the training like for your new franchisees, Blake?
Well, both of them start with a week-long training. The Christmas decor is about a 45-hour week, and then the nighttime is probably closer to 60 because we get out at night and do design work and so forth. Once they get through that first week, of course, they have some homework they go home and work towards, and then we do a combination of webinars, and each program has an annual conference, and then we do some regional trainings as well. So it's a launch 5-day training, and then as we believe, training is a culture and it never ends. So we continue to use technology and then regional events to kind of bring people together and teach the new latest techniques.
That's great. Is there a typical day for the franchisees, Blake, would you say?
Well, I think a typical day is understanding these guys are contractors. First of all, you find out who's going to show up for work in the morning. Once you get that part figured, that's the challenge for these guys, and it was for me too, is labor. And it's probably going to get a little easier now with all the things that are happening in the economy. But that's the biggest challenge. And then from there, it's just pretty much a matter of for production. You kind of break your business in production and then sales. And you've got, so many usually these are 2- or 3-person crews. And we try to produce somewhere between $2,500 and $3,000 a day, which, by the way, is considerably more than most of them learn in their other businesses. So it's the niche really does bring a lot of higher profitability and gross profitability. And then, of course, from a sales perspective, with Christmas, you just kind of hold on and see if you can hang on. Because once we start getting into November, it just explodes, and they're just holding on for dear life, really. It's a fun challenge, but it is a challenge.
I guess many of the franchisees take the whole month of January off, right?
Well, they got to take them down. Once they get them all taken down, it depends on the part of the country. If they're in the north, then some of that stuff gets frozen in the ground. So, a lot of these guys do hunting, and they like to take some hunting breaks, and sometimes they'll still be able to do some of that in January. But really, their slow time is February, usually between their seasons, and it's a well-needed break and a good breather for them to kind of get ready for another season for their core businesses usually.
Do you feel, Blake, that at least Christmas decor has a bit of resistancy, that it's not going to be affected by? I mean, the economy's rough right now. So
some
recession resistance, I think, with Christmas, because people aren't really going to cut back too much on it. It's a one time of the year. People are kind of in that spending mode. It makes them happy. Things are rough, so people have had a rough time. There might be a little bit of that to that side of the business, right?
Well, you really said it. I mean, you nailed it, and in a way, it's kind of intuitive to think that way. And then part of it, too, is people don't take the trips. You know, they don't do the travel. They don't go to Europe or wherever it is that they normally would go. And so, therefore, they end up staying home. And because they stay home and the kids are coming for Christmas, all of a sudden you've got a recipe that really helps us. This year we did see a little bit of a downturn, but not a lot. The timing couldn't have been worse. And, you know, all this news kind of hit around October, which is when we do our renewals. But really new sales, we're still getting some of the reports in, but new sales seem to be holding pretty much steady as far as growth, new sales. I think reinstall sales and re-ups, we call them reinstalls, are probably down just a little bit. But really, we were quite encouraged by that. You know, on the other side, the nighttime decor, I think the benefit that's happening there is people are not buying the next house or the second house. They're taking care and upgrading the home they live in. It's less expensive. They don't want to lose their investment, and they don't want to sell right now. So what they're doing is they're finding ways to enhance the home. Pretty much your add-on contractors, your home improvement contractors are just exploding right now, where your home builders are obviously suffering some. And I think that's because people are making investments. They're putting in the new kitchen, doing some of those things rather than moving. And so far, that seems to be holding ground with the nighttime. So we're hopeful as we go into the summer in our big season that we'll see that people will invest in the home that they have. And there's not much of a way to improve a home for the money like lighting will. It just expands the enjoyment and the living space, and it's quite a powerful impact for $3,000 or $4,000.
Right.
Yeah, that's great. We've been using the word, Blake, it's come up, I think, Don, probably on the last, like, in 6 months, the word staycation. You know, we're seeing it
yes.
a lot, you know, as people not, as you said, Blake, going on vacation and investing in their homes, you know, and I would totally agree with, you know, your statement, so absolutely.
Well, we certainly hope that's how it plays out. We've seen that. Of course, we keep up with all the research, too, and that's what we're seeing. So what we are reading is that people sometimes, instead of spending $50,000, they may spread it out over the year. They may spend three installments, maybe two of 20 and one of 10 or something like that. So they may not lay it all out, but they're still spending the money. They're just kind of stretching the investment out over time.
Right. Good point. We're speaking with Blake Smith of the Decor Group, and you've been in franchising a while, obviously a very successful system, Blake. What advice would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? People listening right now, what advice would you give them?
Well, unquestionably, the best tool that you can use in investigating a franchise is to talk to the franchise owners of that system. As a requirement of law, each franchisor must provide a document called the FDD, Franchise Disclosure Document, and inside of that lists all the franchisees that they've sold a franchise to, and it even includes those that maybe have left the system in the last couple of years. And I think it's important for you to ask all the questions that you can, but understand that there's certainly an interest in the franchisor selling and you a franchise, recruiting you as a franchisee. But at the same time, if you talk to the actual franchisees on the other side of the fence, I think you get some very candid response and some very good information there. They're going to want to protect the system's proprietary information, but they certainly would share information about the franchisor, about the effectiveness of the business, those types of things, if you approach them in a very open manner. I think you'll find that that's going to be the best tool possible. Clearly look at everything from what you get initially. There's going to be an initial fee. Well, what are you going to get in that fee? What type of training? Are they going to provide any marketing materials? Are they going to provide any supplies? What type of vendor network do they have set up? Are they going to be able to save you money on materials versus you buying it on your own? What type of arrangements have they made to save you money there to bring a little more profitability to you? So I think those are some important pieces. What's their plan for support? How often are they going to talk with you? How available are they going to be when you need help? Again, some of these questions can be asked directly to the franchisees. So I think you just have to go through a good series of going through a variety of questions and asking what business tools are provided, anything that they will provide you. One thing I will mention here is a lot of franchise systems now are providing what we call an earnings claim. An earnings claim is basically some financial information that allows you to kind of get an idea of what the potential of the business model would be. Look for those. Those companies actually willing to offer those They take a risk to do that because if they offer you earnings claims and then you fall way below those and you follow the whole system, then you know they would have the risk that you'd have a claim against them. So if they're willing to share that kind of information, that probably means they're pretty confident in it. So look for those systems that offer earnings claims and certainly study those and then ask those franchisees that you talk to about those claims. So there's a lot of tools, and there are a lot of systems out there that aren't good. So it's important that you take your time and really research it, and don't just call a couple of franchisees. Call 20 or 30 if you can.
Right.
So that would be my strongest advice is just talking to people that are on the other side of the fence.
And great advice. You can never do enough due diligence, as Marty and I have been a big proponent of.
Absolutely.
Since we've been doing the show. So what are the core group's plans for the future, Blake?
Well, really, it's growth-based. We've invested quite a bit of money in buildings and, as I mentioned earlier, technology. And our team is amazing. We've got an amazing group of people here. And I think we're really poised for growth. We've, like all businesses, you grow real fast. We started with 7 franchises in 96. We went to 87 the very next year. We added 80, which is a huge jump. It got us economies of scale, which was critical. And then we continue to grow to where we're at about 375 locations for Christmas. We're about 30 for nighttime. We really feel at this time that we've got the infrastructure and the support and everything else to grow faster. So I anticipate we're going to see some real growth, especially on the nighttime decor brand. We've projected to add about 30 units this year in nighttime, which would double nighttime size, and hopefully eventually someday down the road rival Christmas decor in terms of the size of the organization. So growth is big, but we never look beyond our ability to support the existing franchisees. So we one thing a company has to do is make sure that you separate the two things. You can't rob Peter to pay Paul. You can't pull from the support side in order to do the growth. So we put the resources in place to do that. In addition, we've actually got the trademark for the Christmas decor brand in all of the EU, European Union. So we're kind of set to do some international expansion there in the next couple of years, and we are going to try to move into Canada this year with our nighttime brand. So a lot of growth plans, but in no way are we going to shortchange our support of the successful franchises we have in the system today.
A lot of opportunity to become a franchisee and have success and further grow with the system. You're doing a great job, Blake.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you. It's a lot of fun. There's nothing like this. And, you know as a, I guess, advice to entrepreneurs out there, do something that you're passionate about. I mean, it's a true entrepreneur work. There's never any work. It's just a lot of fun. It's just an enjoyable challenge every day. It's one of those things that when you're on your way to work, you can't hardly wait. The road is too long to get there. And when you're that excited about anything, you're generally going to be successful at it. And I'd say that's true of people that are looking to buy a franchise as well as people that maybe want to start one.
Right.
Have a passion and a burning desire to win and make sure that you're always having fun. And if you are, then I think you'll be very successful.
That's fantastic. Blake, we have about 60 seconds. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on the Decor Group?
Well, probably the websites would be the best, and I would probably go to either one of the two Christmas Decor or Nighttime Decor sites. It's ChristmasDecor.net, that's ChristmasDecor.net, and then NighttimeDecor.com. And Nighttime is spelled NITIMEDECOR.com. Sorry about that, NighttimeDecor.com.
And we can put a link up on our show page as well, Blake, for our listeners.
Yeah, that would be great. That'd be great.
That's what we'll do. And Donna, I want to both thank you again. You've been an incredible guest, Blake, and I'd love to have you back towards the end of the year.
Good job.
Well, anytime you're ready, just catch me after vacation.
Got it. Thanks so much, Blake.
All right.
Hey, thanks. You guys have a great day.
Thanks,
enjoy the
Blake.
Program. Take
great
care.
Show. Great show, huh, Don?
Yeah, wow. I was going to make a comment.
That's a wow show.
I was going to make a comment that I'm sensing a future author, maybe. Knows a lot about franchising.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have the Great Quotes in Franchising podcast, and I got to tell you, I mean, there's like 5 or 6 times I'd like to quote him. I wouldn't even know where to begin, you know, but what he was mentioning about the technology, you know, and how things are now like an exact science, and it really is incredible. They have an incredible system. I was really excited after listening to him.
For myself, if I ever was to buy a franchise in the future, I want a guy like that running the ship, you know?
I totally agree, you know, so... we'll definitely have to have him back, you know, and we're going to have to replay the show on several occasions, you know. So,
yeah.
So great job, Blake. Thanks again for coming on. And for our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com where you can hear over 111 recorded shows. That's over 111 hours of interviews. So we've got an incredible library now, Don. And go to GoFranchise.com and FranchiseFunding.net. And we've got another great show next week, don't we, Don?
Yes, looking forward to that.
So I'll talk to you next week then, Don. Good job.
Thank you. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
And she treated charm existence without thought, just to see what it might be.